to The Vibe You're In
with Michael Santana and Will Molina. Welcome to episode 28. 28 episodes, 28 weeks.
It's a lot of time.
It is a lot of time, but tonight, it's an interesting one because we've got two special guests. We have two dear friends.
Two superstars.
Superstars in the real estate industry. Not just that, former colleagues of us in our previous company. They're awesome people. So before we start and before I let people know who they are, we want to thank all the listeners, especially you guys as listeners as well. The feedback that we get, the love that we get, the reviews. Thank you so much. That really helps. So if you think this show serves you, please share it with your friends, colleagues, people that you think this information can be valuable to them.
Hit that button.
Hit that button. I want to thank our sponsor for the night, Froggy's Party Pad.
And you can reach Froggy's at www.froggyspartypad.com.
And because of our sponsor, we have our super producer, engineer extraordinaire.
Short Fuse.
Thank you for always making us sound amazing. So tonight, we have two really cool people. We have Dan Diodati. Dan, thank you for coming to our show.
Thank you very much for having me, Will and Mike.
And we have Brad McHugh as well.
Thank you very much for having me, gentlemen.
It's so awesome. Man, you guys inspire me, honestly, because you both are professionals at what you do. And we had a show last week about professionalism. So these two guys really embody what professionalism is. I know Dan for many years. I know Brad because of where we were previously. But for me, I work with Dan hand on hand, and I got to see Dan grow into the business. And Dan has a lot to say. I mean, there's a lot that Dan's gone through.
Did you get to see his beard grow too?
I've seen his beard off and on several occasions, but he's got it on now. It's working for him.
Oh, yeah.
He looks like a fisherman.
He does.
Doesn't he?
He looks like a man of the wilderness.
I'm kind
of
like a sheepdog. I got to go semi-annually to get shaved, you know?
Oh, my God. So as we always start an episode, we start with a drink or two.
Yes.
And I have no idea how much of drinking we'll do tonight, but we'll be moderate.
As always.
So tonight we're having something called Smuggler's Notch Distillery. It's a straight bourbon whiskey. This is made in Vermont. According to them, it's a small batch. I have no idea what a small batch means. Does anyone know what a small batch bourbon is?
It means only so much is made.
Thank you, Brad. See, I knew Brad knew that. And they've won some awards. They were rated 95 in Wine Enthusiast. I had no idea that Wine Enthusiast also rates bourbons, but this is really good. Anyone have any comments as far as what it tastes in their palate?
Very smooth.
Yeah, it's extremely smooth. No, there's really no bite after bite. It's like
you could drink as much as you would.
Oh, boy. So cheers to that, guys.
Cheers to that.
Cheers.
All right. So let's dive right into our topic. It's a fun topic. I think people will really enjoy what we have to say tonight. Michael, what is today's topic?
Today's topic is about perception. First, we have to realize or check into what perception even means. There's three definitions here, and one of them is the ability to see, hear, and become aware of something through the senses. We always talk about the five senses, mm-hmm. right? And it's not how we want to live life. We want to live life through your other sense, which is the sense of reality inside your mind. How you see things is how things should be going in your life. The third one, I'm going to skip the second one, because it's the same as the first one. The third one is a way of regarding, understanding, and interpreting something, a mental impression. So it's your interpretation of something that someone else might be seeing, and you might not be seeing eye to eye. What we're going to talk about today is not being so rigid and not being so stuck in your ways and stubborn and seeing things only one way. Because in reality, if you're able to see things through other people's eyes, you open the door of infinite possibilities.
So absolutely.
You'll end up with more solutions to things. You'll end up more open-minded and being able to rise up and raise your level of professionalism, right?
Absolutely.
Dan, what's your thought on perception? Just initial thoughts on the topic.
Initial thoughts on perception. You know, I think that from a perception standpoint, it's certainly important to not only have your own perception of things, but try to take into consideration the perception of others.
Absolutely.
Sounded just like the definition.
Well, that's fine.
That is the definition.
I'm going to take that as the definition through the perception of Dan.
Dan. Right.
Yep. Right. Exactly.
Which is perfect. Listen, William Blake says, if the doors of perception were cleansed, everything would appear to man as it is, infinite. And that's what we're talking about. Infinite possibilities. Seeing things so that you have more than one choice, not just stuck in your old ways and being able to grow.
I've always thought like that.
Well, Brad, you originally, before real estate, you were in the car business.
Correct.
Tell us a little bit about how you transitioned from the car business to real estate and what was your passion to get there? Was that a loaded question?
No. car business is a hustle.
Okay.
It's a grind. Mm-hmm. Felt like I could only make so much money there. But my dad taught me how to be a good salesman.
Okay.
Which definitely helped me in real estate. And a friend of mine, Henry Matos, worked
with me. Shout out to Henry.
For 7 years. He got into real estate. I watched him get into it, and I just knew I'd love it. And he kept saying, you got to come, you got to come. You'd be great at it.
Oh, that's awesome.
I came and loved it ever since.
That's such a good feeling because I think each one of us has been touched by someone else who's brought us into this amazing profession, really unique in itself. Because we really are in tune with people's futures and their financials. And so, Dan, I know that you have roots in real estate, and that's how you came in. What were you doing before real estate?
Before real estate, I was actually a bricklayer. Okay. I worked for a commercial waterproofing company in Boston. Was up at 4 a.m. every day.
Wow.
Washed in on time. And that, you know, when you get into the trades, masonry is an excellent trade to get into. There's a lot of money to be made, and in New England, there's always work to do, but no one tells you how damn heavy everything is.
They don't explain that part because then you'll never go.
Yeah. 96-pound bags of Portland cement take a toll on you after a little while.
Oh, my Lord.
Wow.
Yeah, I'd rather pick up real estate books.
Yeah, car business is a grind, too. I'd wake up at 5 in the morning, go to the auctions, buy the cars.
And bring them back.
Go back to the place. Pick up cars until 9 o'clock at night, clean the cars, do the books, sell the cars.
Yeah, yeah. We know plenty of people in the car business. I have two family members, both are boyfriends of my daughters, and they're in the car business in different aspects of it, but I totally understand what they go through.
I must have liked it though. I did it for 20 years.
Oh my God, wow. Really? Wow. Yeah. See, that's a transition. We've had episodes when we talk about
I guess 15 years.
15 years. You're doing something you like and you realize, you know what? It's not what I really want to do. Let me do something else. Let me pursue what I feel
and
love. It was
scary getting into real estate. Real estate, to me, is one of the hardest businesses to get into. The first year of real
estate. Some people don't see it.
Was unbelievably tough. I'd sit there and listen to everyone talk on their phones, knowing what they're talking about. You're at your desk with your book and your phone and your computer, just trying to draw up business out of nowhere.
Right.
Until you do. And basically just did open houses every weekend.
Yeah, but then you hit it out the park.
Right.
Like you're a superstar.
Yeah, but you also have to have the vision and the passion for it. Because
right,
I think a lot of people get into it
and they do not make it past first year. The first year to me is like the hardest thing I ever did. But
there's
I just kept pushing forward.
An NAR stat, National Association of Realtors stat, that talks about that the majority of people don't even go past 2 years.
Oh yeah, the stat's unbelievable on how many people fail out of real estate.
Yeah, you have to have a passion. It's a great business, but you really have to love it. Of course, we talk about that. If you don't love what you do, forget it. You're not going to get anywhere.
Everyone who asks me about real estate, I say it's a year of pain, and you got to be able to support yourself for that first year.
Dan, what was your inspiration coming into the business?
Inspiration, that is kind of a loaded question.
I know it is.
I have a few minutes, so go for it.
Yeah, go right ahead, because I know part of the story, but certainly the audience may not know it.
All right, so I love being a bricklayer.
I love it.
Being a bricklayer was what I knew how to do. Growing up, I had my two grandfathers were my greatest inspirations, both of them, and you know, one was very much a go-go-go Italian bricklayer, and it's what we did. If you're a male in the household, you are a bricklayer. My brother's a bricklayer. My other brother's a bricklayer. My father's a bricklayer. My uncle's a bricklayer. My dad, too. Well, kind of. Mm-hmm, kind of like a non-working supervisor going around bossing everyone around. But
he's paid his dues.
Yep, but he's paid his dues. Yeah. And on the other end, my grandfather was more of an intellectual type. He was definitely a math brain. why the hell would you work with your hands when you can work with your head kind of guy?
Gotcha.
You know, so I followed suit with the fam and went along and I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the work. I enjoyed the architecture. I enjoyed working on the buildings. I enjoyed applying my skills every single day because it is a skill. It's not something that everyone can do. I was coming back from work after a winter layoff and I was crossing the street and I got hit by a car as a pedestrian.
I remember that very well.
Yep. He was going about 45 miles an hour with no brakes. It was a frosty morning. His windshield was frosted over, and he just turned on the froster, never scraped his windshield, never even saw me, smoked me. From there, I'm going to try to keep a long story short, but I was in the hospital for over a month and a half. Since then, I've had 8 orthopedic surgeries. I have 2 rods in my spine. I have 6 rods in my rib cage. I've had work on my wrist. I've had work on my collarbone. Basically, all around, tip to toe, I have about 6 linear feet of titanium in me. Wow. And
so you'd be interesting in TSA.
Yeah. It does not set off the metal
detector.
Does it?
Okay,
no,
good.
No, it doesn't.
All right. They've used the right material so you can go through and have
exactly.
Your vacation.
Fortunately, it happened in 2013, and it didn't happen in 1999 because I probably would need like a doctor's note to get her on an airplane.
That's right.
No wonder you look like Wolverine.
Yeah.
You got
I remember. I not to cut Dan off, I remember the call I got from Angel. And she called the office and she's like, Dan just got hit by a car. And, you know, you get that story. And I said, oh, okay, wow. But then I realized what it was, the magnitude of it, and the recovery process. We had a fundraiser for you at that time. I remember we did a fundraiser in Hayrow at a bar. It was amazing. A lot of people, a lot of support. And obviously, it's a testament to who you are. But that journey must have been interesting to go through that transition of understanding that you were hit by a car, and in most cases, from what I understand, a lot of people don't make it based on how you were hit. And so here you are, you're laying in a hospital, and you know what's going through your mind?
Yeah, so you know, there was a lot of drugs at first, so it took a while to even think about anything. You know, and then it became Then it became, am I going to walk? You know, it was that simple task that you realize, like, I might not even be able to walk. I don't know if I can literally get out of this bed. And I was encouraged to walk. I had great support. My family was there. Everyone was there every day. So many visitors, so many. You really learn how much people appreciate you, I guess. And I did walk. I took the steps, and I kept taking steps. And I just wanted to do more and do more. And I wanted to feel normal again. And over the course of like the next 6 months, it was definitely the hardest point in my part of hardest thing I've ever gone through ever in my life, and it's probably the hardest thing I will ever go through, because I was a very ambitious kid, and all I ever wanted to do was just make money, support myself, be on my own. College really wasn't even a thought for me, you know, to get a college education and get a degree and go on to a nice cushy job, and I didn't really have anything else other than masonry.
Gotcha.
So, you know, after I was walking again, after I felt somewhat normal again, I was an emotional basket case, not really knowing what I was going to do. But I had an incredible amount of support all around me. My mother is a saint. I will absolutely give her that. She was the best support.
Shout out to Angel.
Best support I ever could have had. You know, there was an even embarrassing story about, you know, my white blood cell count was still low, and I got into the shower. And I felt like a sack of potatoes. I collapsed. It was my first day home. I wanted to take a shower on my own, and I couldn't do it. And my own mom had to see me butt naked in the shower.
Hey, that's what moms are for.
Yeah. Yeah. Ambulance came and took me away. It was awful. Yeah. But, you know, she was the one that encouraged me to get my real estate license. But she's not the reason why I got my real estate license.
Okay.
I got my real estate license because all the help that I had. And you know, even having a sales background from before I was a bricklayer, I was like, you know what, if I have the ability to help people, in any fashion, I'm going to do it. And it just makes sense for me. You know, she was plugged in and she was a huge help to get me going, but I think it was more of the, I can help people and I really have this passion to help people that made me get going in it.
That's awesome. You're an awesome realtor, and let me tell you, I've learned a lot from you as well. And it's the times that we have conversations about our business and scenarios and things, and you know what we want to see in the future in our business. It's been inspiring for me. So cheers to that.
Cheers to that for sure. And Will, that. I learned so much from you too, you know, looking up to you, getting into it.
Oh my God,
know,
thank
you. It was learning from you and Denise and Todd, and you guys were absolutely great mentors to me. And,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So cheers to that.
Cheers to that.
Cheers to that.
So Michael.
What an awesome story.
Isn't that an awesome story? I told you. I didn't
you're
even.
You're like a miracle right here.
Yeah. Well, hey, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I was very, very lucky that I did not have a head injury, but it's because I was pretty thick-headed when it happened. So,
part of your body makeup helped out.
Yeah,
I mean, it really did. In other situations, from what I remember having a conversation with Angel about it, she's like, he's lucky because of who he is frame-wise.
Yeah, I was very big into weightlifting too. Weightlifting and those 96-pound bags of cement, they really will put a lot of muscle in you. Sure. And the doctor that did my spine surgery said he said if it wasn't for the incredible amount of muscle you have in your back, you would probably be in a wheelchair for the rest of your life.
Unbelievable.
Wow, I was told the story, but not in such detail.
Well, I had to bring it out of him. And yeah. I know it's a tough story to tell.
Yeah.
But certainly it's inspiring, because the other side of it is that people just, you know, they go through that and they give up. Yeah. And you said to yourself, no, I'm here, yeah. I can think. And I'm going to get better.
Yeah, well, the funny thing about that, Will, is, you know, as I was recovering, I just wanted to feel normal again. And I wanted to be normal. And I wasn't going to accept anything less. And, like, there would be, like, nights where I would literally just be crying alone and, like, in my bed. Just, like, I can't believe this happened to me. I want to just get back on the horse. Like, I'll do anything to get my life back. And I realized that, like, because I didn't complain to anybody, I never complained. And because I just wanted to keep advancing, I realized that we live in a society that if you progress, then it's not rewarded as much as if you cower and just curl up in a ball.
Sure.
And just move forward. Like, the people that get propped up are definitely the ones that complain.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
That's one thing I absolutely learned about it. And, part of it was I was lucky enough that, like, 6 months before it happened, my company put me on a short-term disability. And when it came down to my conversations with them, I was like, man, I probably should have just lied, because I would have had income. Instead, they were like, oh, he looks like he's doing fine. Like, you can go back to work. Yeah. Wow,
what an incredible story.
It is. It is a great story.
And it's great that you were able to see things that way. You know what I mean? And to answer your question, Mr. Brad, you needed to have some smuggler's notch with him. You would have got it all out of him that day.
Yeah. No, truth be told, Mike, it happened in 2013, and not until this year did I even start telling the story.
Wow.
You know,
that's the first time I hear it.
I wouldn't. It's not a story I want to tell. I've never looked for pity, and I didn't want to create a pity party, but now I'm realizing that my experience, if anyone can learn from it or see something from it, because aside from what happened, there's so much more to it than that. It changed who I am entirely.
You know, it's funny. You and Denise share something very common. Denise also got hit by a car many years ago. And it wasn't as severe as what happened to you. Same thing. You know, she was showing a house at the time. And it was a bad weather day. And someone came and sideswiped her. Now, she didn't see the car coming, which was one of the key things that the doctor told me when we were in the hospital. He said if she would have saw it, then she tenses up. But the fact that she didn't see it, it was natural for her body to be hit and go through the motions that she went through. And so, you know, it's changed her life too, but she's created a purpose out of that. And I think that that's what you've done, because now you're married. You have an incredibly beautiful family. You have two amazing girls. And, this, you know, everything's working for you, because you've decided, you know what, I'm going to go to the next level. I'm going to get to the point where I control my own destiny. And that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. It's to the point now where, you know, I look back on it and I think of the whole tragedy as a blessing, because my life would be totally different. Like, no one understands that I was a thick-headed asshole. I really was.
Okay.
Like, I took no shit from anybody at all. And I had no problem running my mouth. I had no problem. And not like I was, like, picking fights or anything, but just someone that's speak your mind type of person.
Right, 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 right.
It was absolutely me. And if you weren't working hard, it was kind of like I didn't even want to associate with you.
Yeah.
So in talking about perception and the topic of today, my whole perception on life and my outlook on everything changed so much, because you realize every day is a gift. And I know you've all heard that before.
Ooh, I like that.
But it's like every day is a gift.
That deserves an applause.
And it's not even
I like
about
the applause button.
And it's not even about so much like that there's pity involved in this story. I think it makes you a hero, you know, because there's somebody out there that's probably going through the same thing right now, and you give them hope.
Well, I think it probably turned them into a lot better of a person, too.
There you go.
Right, because I think the stories that we unveil about ourselves helps others. There's a lot of people out there who need to hear that, yes, I can do it.
Yeah, plus you learn from your situations.
You learn from your situations, and you develop skills based on the things that you go through, but certainly the stories. I mean, we all hear other people's stories, and we're inspired.
Yep.
And so when you have a story and you have it in you, you should say it.
And you also give them a different way of seeing it. So it's talking about perception.
Right.
It's just a different way of seeing the same situation they're going through. Now they're seeing it through your eyes and your story. And it's like, if he can do it, I can do it. Because anything anyone can do, another person can do as well.
Absolutely.
So that's awesome.
Yep. Very cool. And if there's any, another thing that can be taken away from it too, I think, is that if you see someone that's struggling, you know, and they're not necessarily the nice to you, you know, to take that into consideration and try to see what their perception is, you know, to understand where they are coming from before you resort to hate.
Well, we also talk about the fact to see the good in someone else, because there's always good in someone, regardless of who they are and what they've gone through. We don't know the travel of someone else, but certainly we see the good in them. It helps us be able to help them. Michael, do you hear that?
I do.
It's the restaurant of the week. And for this week, we're going to pass the restaurant of the week to our guest, and they're going to talk about their favorite restaurant. What is your favorite restaurant? What's the restaurant of the week, Brad?
Was this considered a restaurant? I think it's more of a butcher shop. But
well, it's a
sandwich shop.
It's a sandwich shop.
We're going to go with the Modern Butcher.
The Modern Butcher.
Newburyport,
Massachusetts.
In Newburyport, Massachusetts. Newbury.
Pretty much the best roast beef sandwich you could ever imagine having.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, so the roast beef sandwiches, they make them once a week, but in order to make the beef, they sous vide the beef. So they put the beef in a bag and it goes into water at like 130 degrees, which is perfect temperature. Whoa. 125.
Sous vide steaks or anything else is just incredible way of
it. It is incredible, and I did not have that knowledge, but I know that it is amazing. And so are the rest of their sandwiches.
What's your favorite sandwich, Dan?
Oh, it's absolutely the beef. It's
really?
Gotta be. Yes, yeah. They do. They're very, very creative. You know, last week they made a chicken sandwich that had all kinds of was kind of like a California chicken sandwich, avocado, everything. Everything is made in house there, and everything is just super creative. It's a think outside the box type of butcher shop.
Nice.
That puts together some amazing creations.
That's a Nashville chicken sandwich, which is unbelievable. They have an Italian sub that is orgasmic.
You know what? Anything that you say that is orgasmic, I'm going to go have it.
I'm not kidding. That and the beef. Actually, in the contract that I signed with Dan, it included a beef that he had 2 weeks to get me. Yeah. That I still haven't had.
My onboarding experience in my company is
that contract's been renegotiated to two beefs.
Well, 2 weeks wasn't enough,
but you have to wait in line.
He dreads
the line, but that was in the contract.
And this is below zero. There's lines for a blocks and
it's almost like the provocative girls that getting into the nightclub. You know what I mean?
I always roll my window down and I'm like, the beef, get that beef.
Nice.
So everyone puts their arms up.
So being from New England, though, we have like the North Shore beef is the divine sandwich. It's a New England creation. You know, from North Shore creation.
Right.
Yeah, so if you were to go to, like, California, you're not going to get a North Shore beef. It's because it's from the North Shore. Although the sandwich is a sandwich, and it does not have a zip code, it's very, very tough to find a sandwich like this outside
100%. Of the area. 100%. I actually follow the page on social media
of all the different beef places.
I travel around, and I actually get them. But it has not done good for my stomach, so I've kind of cut back of late.
So the Modern Butcher is located in Newburyport, Massachusetts. Their website says, like everyone else, our phones are another appendage, and we're always posting the latest shop offerings, daily special sandwiches of the day, and reposting the amazing meals our customers are making with our meats, which is pretty fascinating, very fascinating. Has anyone met the owner?
I personally have not. I think I have, but
I definitely have.
Okay.
But it's more of like a
So the recommendation,
especially with COVID, it's more of like a high-end buy-in.
Sure. So the recommendation there is sandwiches, and they actually, you know, they sell meats and sausages. I've seen them post their sausages.
They post every single day at about 11:30, and their sandwiches are sold out.
So Brad exactly knows when the post is.
Oh, no. Once it comes on, they're sold out a half hour later.
Yeah, it is important to find them on Facebook and social media.
Yeah, they have an Instagram account as well.
And they usually answer on the 10th phone call because they're busy. But you get that in, you're going to be happy, and you're going to make your wife really
happy. If you're ever in Newburyport, Massachusetts, I encourage you, I mean, not me, but our guests are saying the Modern Butcher in Newburyport, Massachusetts, check them out at themodernbutchershop.com. Thank you, Modern Butcher Shop, for being the restaurant of the week.
OMG.
So Dan, you own a boat now in Newburyport, Massachusetts, and
yes.
You took Brad fishing.
Yep.
How was that?
I feel like I'm making up for lost time. I finally have a boat.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations. I know that's a lot of work to get to that point, but you know what? You've been thinking about this for a while.
Yeah.
And here you are with your nice little boat, and you go fishing, you go out with your family.
Yep.
Brad, what was your experience besides the sunburn that apparently happened?
Yep. I was out there for quite some time in the beautiful sun, enjoying life, and it took about 5 days for that sunburn to go away, but it was well worth it. Loved being out on the boat. I caught a...
Pogies.
He caught a pogies.
And I was excited to catch a pogie, but then Dan told me that wasn't even what we were there to get.
No. That's just that's the start of an interesting situation. So you mentioned something off the podcast that it's not about catching the fish. It's actually spending time with someone.
It's not about catching the fish. It's about being out in the sun with your buddy, and it's beautiful out there. It's peaceful out there, and you can shut it off out there.
That's awesome.
And when he was taking me out in his boat, I was like, you know what? He's doing everything right.
That's awesome.
More right
than
me.
So back to our topic on perception.
So what it comes down to is this. What is obvious to some may be a mystery to us, right? We see things different. Everybody does. It's all about perception. And I think that we need to stress that the way we see the world is the way we see it as we were programmed from a little child. Now, we always talk about this here on our little show. You get programmed from the time you're newborn till you're 7 years old. And all the things that you learn between those times is what you take into adulthood. A lot of people get stuck not realizing that that's what has happened. The key to this whole thing is to delete our hard drives and start putting things in there that make us want to better ourselves with putting things that we want, not that someone has programmed into us. So a lot of people that see things and they're stuck in one way of seeing things, it's because they don't know any other way. So we have to start, you know, looking at it differently.
But what if you had great parents that programmed you the right way?
That is key.
Then you're all set.
You're all
set. Yeah.
That's key, because that's what
we're learning.
But
that doesn't happen often.
It doesn't.
No, but I was brought up to care, share, love.
Yeah, and it shows.
It shows.
So we are blessed now because we're doing it to our children. But not that our parents were bad people. They just didn't know any better because they were programmed the way they were programmed. Not as bad people, but just seeing the world a different way. Do you see what I mean? So
yeah.
Some people are programmed for success right off the bat, and some people aren't. Some people are raised in places where they say money doesn't grow on trees. What do you think we are? You know what I mean? So it's
the negative aspects of things. Yeah.
Right. So that's the programming. That's where it comes. So that you end up taking that into your business life. And so you can't get along with your colleagues or your peers. I love your story, Dan, because you came and you actually said it. You said, you know, I really wasn't a nice guy. But your whole outlook on life, your perception was changed through something that happened, right? So now look at you now. You're actually in a leader position, which we're super proud of you. And it's amazing. It's an amazing story. And I wanted to ask you about that. How is that for you? That switched from going to, you know, where you were a salesperson. Now you're actually in a leadership position.
So the switch was, it was a big change, a huge change. It was a bigger change than I thought it was going to be honest with you. I've kind of feel like I've always had like a mentor type of personality to me when it came to work, always sharing ideas.
I agree.
You know, how I was doing things, never really, you know, I always kept my eyes on the prize that I thought was the prize, you know, and that's not someone else's prize. So, you know, I would never put anyone down to propel myself forward in the industry. You know, when the job presented itself, I thought of it as a good opportunity to kind of bring stability to my home life, having two young children. But at the same time, too, to me, it was the next level of me serving and helping people. Like Brad was saying earlier, this business is not a business that you can walk right into and expect to be a millionaire. There is a grind, and it's an absolute hard grind, and most people do fall off. But, you know, to share my ideas and share my story to hopefully get someone else propelled into the industry to be successful, it's a new sense of pride in the job.
You know, it's interesting what you just said is there is that element that I think we are responsible as realtors to serve others, not necessarily our clients, but within the industry. Because the more that we can project to others, this is the correct way. And we're experts, and I agree that we are all experts in this room, but we've learned from others. And so our position of who we are and the successes that we have now is to teach others, hey, if you want to do amazing in this industry, this is possibly the way to do it.
Absolutely.
And I'm not the answer to all of it, but we all equally share a position that we can influence others. And so that's really what we talk about in our show.
Yeah. So like in even talking about perception, you know, what brought Will your success is not what brought me my success.
Correct.
What brought Michael his success is not what brought me my success. Same with Brad. What his story is totally different than my story.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about what it is that's inside you that you can tap into to propel yourself forward. There is no, if you look up in a book, How to Be a Real Estate Agent, if you were to look it up, it would be a 1,000-page book.
Right.
Or even plus, because there's no right or wrong way to do it. It's just, there's the correct things to do. And then there's, the stuff that works for you as an individual.
Yeah, exactly. I think it comes, the word that I would look for is, okay, so what do I do as a realtor? Well, the first, you start with your heart. You start with within you. And you say, you know what? I'm here to serve others. Of course, there's an end to that where you're compensated for helping others. That's great. But in reality, we are in a position of abundance because we see the smiles at closings, seller or buyer. I mean, that's amazing that we touch people's lives in that capacity. And I think that some people don't really understand that that's exactly what we do. We do it because of that.
Yep.
Of course, it's great, and we work hard, and you're right, it's a grind, and yeah, we're compensated for what we do as a service industry, just like anyone else out there who listens to our show that serves others. But really, that's what it comes down to. And I think the success of a realtor or licensee is understanding that it's here, it's in your heart.
I love it. It's all different, but I'm guessing that we all had help getting into the business.
Absolutely.
I was mentored by two great people.
Absolutely, yeah.
No, yeah, I would definitely. Say so.
And that made me want to mentor anyone who came into my building.
Because
even if I wasn't their mentor, I still acted as a mentor.
You understood that what you got was important for you to get to where you are.
100%.
And that it's important to give it back.
A great quote I just saw on Facebook this weekend says, "You can't compete with me. I want you to win."
Oh, wow.
Can't compete with me. I want you to win. Successful people make other people successful.
At the end of the day, it's that we have to see it for what it is. And perception is we started off with the first quote that says it's infinite possibilities, and that's what you're talking about.
Right.
And it's not like there's a mentality of seeing things that there's a beginning and there's an end. But how about if you just see it for what it is? It always has been and always will be, with or without you. So you have to look at it for what it is. It's infinite possibilities. So if I were to say, how would Will look at this? How would Brad look at this? How would Dan look at this? I would be able to have more options to make better solutions and be able to give back more rather than, no, it's the way I see it. I don't care how you guys see it. It's the way I see it. And it's always going to be that way. And that's where people get stuck. And it goes right into the perfect quote that you said. That was beautiful, by the way.
That was an awesome quote.
Yeah, shout out to Brad.
Yeah. So it's leaving it open, understanding what perception is. It's a higher faculty, okay? Yeah, we're spiritual beings having a very human experience. It's a higher faculty. We need to always understand that we have that resource.
I have to also mention I was mentored by about 5 great people.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that's why I love mentoring people. Not 2.
Yeah, so you were inspired, 5. Yeah.
I had a lot of people that were just so kind, and that's where
Yeah, absolutely. Like Brad, too. It's definitely, you know, the people you surround yourself with that pick you up, those are the ones that you want to help keep you going, and you will learn from them forever, no matter how big or how great you think you are. My intellectual grandfather used to say, you have 2 ears and 1 mouth, you should use them proportionally. And it's absolutely true. You know,
that is so awesome. What was his name?
Edward Ouellette.
Thank you, Edward.
I love, that's pretty good. I love older people things. But one of my father's best ones is, son, there's 24 hours in a day. Pick the 12 you want to work. I don't care which 12.
Wow.
Said that to all of us growing up.
Very cool. And it's interesting because intellectually as realtors, I find that the success in serving others has been allowing me to interact with other realtors. And not necessarily the realtors I know, but the realtors across the community, across the, you know, the country. I serve in many committees in the state and so forth. The things that I've learned from others has just been incredible. And what I do is whatever I learn, I try to bring it back to others. The conversations Dan and I had in our past experiences, it really comes down to other people telling me, hey, Will, what about if you think of it this way? And I'm like, he's right, or she's right. And when we have this conversation about whatever it may be, I'm bringing not my own knowledge, but the knowledge I learned from someone else. And I'm like, here you go, Dan. What do you think of this? And you go come back to me and say, well, I heard it this way. And it's quite fascinating. That very awesome. Orgasmic. That's the word of the night.
The word of the night.
Oh my God, that would be a new segment. This is the word of the night.
Yeah, well, I get really excited about food. I really
so do. I'm a foodie. I think we all are.
Total foodie, but yeah.
I mean, do I look like a guy that doesn't get excited about food?
like when I unwrap a roast beef sandwich, I take a picture of it and I don't even send it to anyone.
You keep it to yourself.
I just keep it to myself. But then I really take a good look at it so before I eat it. And I literally get really excited and I'm like, oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Michael, so let's talk about giving pointers for our audience about the perception, understanding that it's not just exactly about what's inside of you and just not understanding that there's other ways to look at things.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's what we're talking about. We're talking about higher faculties. We have reason, we have memory, we have imagination, we have perception. It's a power, and we're able to use this power. And if we understand that we have a power that we can use, then we understand that our eyes are actually a projector. We live from the inside out. We don't never live from the outside in, it's from the inside out. So whatever you're projecting out, that's exactly what you're getting back. It's what you're projecting, right? But you can't get rigid into a place where you're now acting robotic. I sound like a broken record right now, but it's like you're just seeing it one way. You're never going to be able to get mentored, right? If I'm trying to mentor you or I'm trying to learn from you as you're my mentor, and I can't empty myself out so that I can let your knowledge in or the way you're seeing things in, then I'm never going to be able to learn anything.
And we all went through that.
We did.
Because we can name all our mentors. But besides that, we decided, I'm just going to trust the process. I'm going to trust this individual to say what they have to say to me, and I'm going to have to process that, regardless of my perception of what it should be.
I would take all the best things from each person.
Right.
That's how I did everything. I took the best things from this person, the best things from this person, balled it all up with my own little spin on it.
In addition to there's such thing as like an anti-mentor, too. You know,
the anti-mentor.
What I mean by that is, you know, there are certain people that, you know, might be around you that might be doing certain things, and you still listen to them. You still talk to them. You try to pick up on what their perception of things are, and maybe I don't want to be like that.
Something that's been interesting for me that I've been able to understand is after what we've gone through in the world, it seems like people understand in order for us to get to the promised land, we must work together. And I'm finding that there's a lot of changes in the mental state of others to understand that ultimately everyone here is just trying to get this person and this person to be happy. You just want to see the smile, regardless of where it is. It's in the closing or it's in a situation in your transaction. And I think as we've gone through what we've gone through in the world, we've gotten to a place that's better than we were before because people are just working together. I don't know if you guys see the same thing.
Oh, no, agreed. I've learned a lot from a few realtors on the other side of a deal and really taken a lot in from them. I saw a lady months later that I work with, and I said, hey, I learned a lot from you. And she had no emotion. She was just, I could say anything to her.
Yeah, to Brad's point, like with the emotion thing, you know, I feel like even if you're a newer agent, you're getting into it, you know, you have there should always be a passion. The passion is there to do well for your client,
mm-hmm.
but that's different than emotion standpoint, because the day you really are the emotional agent, you're going to wear that emotion anywhere and everywhere you go. And having a job that really has no boundaries these days, you know, you're working at 7, 8, 9 at night sometimes. To bring that home, it's really not fair to those that are around you. You know, so to try to eliminate that and be a true facilitator and represent your client, you gotta take the emotion out of it, and you have to be the one that brings people into focus, and you have to be the one that is a true ambassador of the cause, which is what your client wants.
Sure.
You know, and then just make it happen. You know, use your words and use your brain and be smart about it. Yelling at someone doesn't get you anywhere. It only makes the situation worse.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that in a few episodes before. The energy that you exhaust on being in that moment.
It's a misuse of emotion is what it is.
Right.
Feeling is the secret, by the way. That the emotions are important, but they're just a gauge. But when you get stuck, and again, this goes back to perception. If the person that's just using emotion to think that they're going to get into this argument based on emotion and come at you and at you and keep coming at you, they're not seeing it the way they can see it. Like if you're on the other end, Brad, and you're trying to be, you're being the professional that you are, they're not picking up on the fact that if they see it through your eyes for 1 second, they'll be able to just relax and make a better decision rather than ride on this emotion that an emotion is to be used as a gauge. I'm mad. All right, I got it. Why? Because this happened. All right, now I'm going to focus on the solution. Now I'm no longer mad. But what they do is they ride mad. No, I'm mad. Oh, yeah. I'm going to be mad for 3 more days. And every time you call me, I'm going to ride you about this thing until you give me what I want. And it's not going to happen because we're professionals. And we know how to just be cool about it and see it the way you say. It's we represent our clients. We don't represent the situation. It's not our job to make those decisions. And that's why I get what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. We've said in the past, we're solution masters.
Exactly.
That's really what it comes down to.
You know, when I got into real estate, I had a great mentor. She was awesome. And I told her, I'm going to be on the 10-year plan. You're going to be my mentor for the next 10 years. And she's actually my neighbor now. And she's been my mentor for almost 20 years now.
It's about the relationships that you build.
The relationships. Relationships are absolutely everything in this Perfect. Business.
100%. Absolutely.
Treating people the right way and doing the right thing all the time.
That's awesome. So listen, Wayne Dyer says, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change.
Say it again.
If you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And that all that means is that it's the way you see things. And we always talk about this. Whatever you see, whatever you have in here is what's going to come out here. So you have to look at things the way you want to see them for your own good. And you were talking about taking things from, you know, this person and that person. And it's really what resonates with you, but it's your own good. You know what I mean? We all have goals. We all have that good that we're seeing in the screen of our mind all the time. And that's what we have to focus on all the time. These are projectors. We live from the inside out. I said it earlier, but it's what we see that ends up coming out. But when the day we start getting rigid on what we see, meaning I'm not talking about your goals now. I'm not talking about what I was just talking about. I'm talking about just rigidly seeing things like, no, it has to, it's my way or the highway. That's when you start messing up. That's when you can't be mentored. That's right. When you can't take advice. That's when you can't be in a conversation where people are talking about growth, because you're not going to grow that way. It's all about using your power of perception to see things, not just through your eyes, but through everyone's eyes.
It's really looking at the big picture.
Exactly.
So new segment, rapid fire questions with our two guests. And the first question is, Dan, what are you reading right now?
What am I reading right now?
Yeah, book.
So there's a book that actually the former CEO of Berkshire Hathaway, Chris Stewart, wrote. It's about influence.
Influence, okay.
Yep. And it's about how the perception of the real estate industry and how to become a forever agent and how to actually be a little bit more in touch with the needs of your clients and, you know, how the industry or outside of the industry, right, how the consumer perceives you and how you should actually act to help grow your business.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Brad, what is the book you're reading right now?
I'm reading Heart-Shaped Tact by Tracy Garvis Graves.
What's it about?
It's a love story involved with... orgasmic
guy, food.
It's a woman who meets this guy who basically stops hackers, and it's a really good book.
Interesting.
And is that the first book? No, that's what comes after the first book. So, second question coming up.
Star Wars or Game of Thrones?
Dan. Game of Thrones, absolutely.
Yeah, no question, Game of Thrones.
All right. Next bucket list item, Dan.
Tuna fish.
Tuna fishing, okay.
I've yet to catch a giant. I'm an avid fisherman, never caught a giant tuna.
I want to be there when you do that.
I want to be the number one realtor in my office.
That's easy. You're going to do that next month, Brad.
That's easy.
I hope so.
That's easy.
4 a.m. club, 5 a.m. club, 6 a.m. club. Dan.
4 a.m. club.
I don't get up until 6:45, but I'm up late working while my kids are sleeping.
Okay. That's fine. That's fine with me.
So 5 a.m. for you.
No, I get up at 6:45.
No, 5 a.m. for you. You're going to be the number one realtor in your office.
Oh, you mean I should start getting up at 5 a.m.?
How you handle those?
If you knew what time I went to bed, you would.
It's amazing how much you can get done before everyone else wakes up.
Right.
Next question. Favorite moment when you're not working?
Being on my boat.
All right.
Being with my three girls.
Awesome.
And my beautiful wife.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Awesome. My wife is totally going to kill me on that one.
I'm psyched.
You got him.
I just got him.
Yeah, you see?
I finally scored a bucket. My ice. Holding my little dagger, not getting
that sword just got a hell of a lot longer. Nice.
I got a question for you guys. Something you'd like to accomplish before the end of this year?
I would like to double the agents in the new office that we've opened.
Brad?
I would like to get my basement refinished.
When was your make or break moment in real estate?
Make or break moment. It came four months into the business. I was on the way to a concert with my now wife, who is my biggest supporter and the most amazing human being in the world, Molly. And when we got to the concert, it was the Adam Ezra Group, and they were playing at the small venue there on Lansdowne Street.
Ooh,
the Avalon, not
story.
The Avalon,
told
the next
me
one.
Story.
Yep.
And we were on the way in, and we had already had the tickets, and I said, Molly, I was like, I just need to let you know that, you know, it hasn't been the easiest road. I'm really, like, working my ass off. I'm trying to get ahead, but when it comes to, like, drinks and tonight, like, I mean, I think we might have to turn around because I have $7 in my bank account.
Wow.
Wow.
How am I going to compete against this story? I want another
$7 in my bank account.
So, Brad, same question to you.
No, he's got to finish the story.
Yeah, I want to hear the
$7
rest
in my bank account. The next week, I closed two transactions. The first closings were two in a day. And since then, I mean, we could talk about the successes of it all, but I think we all know we're all successful people here. So
we're successful in spirit.
Yes.
I had a few bad things happen to me in a row. I drove a guy around, showed him 13 houses in New Hampshire. Then he decided to go buy a mass and... He said, hey, you got your mass license? I said, yeah. And he ended up buying directly from the agent. It was like a $650,000 deal. I also had another deal going at the same time where it was just had to be signed, but things happened, didn't work out. And it really, really took a toll on me, but I just kept grinding. Kept grinding forward, and I came out the other end.
That was your make or break moment?
Well, it almost broke me, for sure. You know, real estate's not easy.
So if you love this episode, hit that subscribe button.
Hit that button.
I want to thank Dan and Brad for spending the time with us and blessing our show with their knowledge and the things that they love to do.
And next time we'll give Brad the questions before he gets here.
Yeah, because he was complaining about it.
So he can have an upper hand.
Thank you.
If you love this episode and you believe it'll serve others, share it with them. Thank you for the love that we always receive. Thank you for sharing our show. Thank you for your reviews. It really helps us out. Dan, Brad, I really want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I think the vibe you're in, Michael, really want to thank you for spending the time with us and really enlightening us with your story, enlightening us with your thoughts, your dreams, your rapid-fire questions, which was awesome. Thank you so much. How was it for you guys?
It was excellent. I loved it. I'd like to be invited back. Like I said, now I know what I'm doing.
This is your house.
I was a little
this
nervous.
Is your house.
After the first time Dan went first, I just felt a little outgunned.
Listen, Dan, we're fighting on the same side of the line. And so I really do appreciate Will and Mike having us here. Like, it really does mean a lot to me. And I think the great takeaway from it, as far as even from the perception standpoint, is no matter the fact that we report to different offices, we all have the same cause, and we're like-minded people, and we can share ideas.
Nice. That part of it is very, very cool. You guys
such
have
a
always...
Such a dynamic group in this room.
You guys have always been very cool. Will, you being at the office with Denise my first day was, like, awesome. Made me feel so good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
And Dan's a man. Dan's the all-around man. Great real estate man. Great fisherman.
The Great Fisherman. That sounds like a book.
Great man.
Shit, you're going to have to write a book on The Great Fisherman.
I usually write him poems on Facebook.
He does.
Dan,
and
the
I've
man.
Been impressed by every single one.
Oh, my God.
Honestly, working with Brad is a pleasure. He's just a true professional, and
awesome.
He brings it, for
and
sure.
And you guys are right down the street from me, so it's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you, Froggy's Party Pad, for being the sponsor of the night.
And the Enchantment Room can be reached at www.froggiespartypad.com.
And because of your sponsorship, we have the super producer engineer extraordinaire.
Short Fuse.
Short Fuse for making it sound amazing.
Yes, yes, y'all.
And as we always say, we are over.
And
out. Yes. I feel it inside my soul.